can help somebody as I pass along. If I can cheer somebody with a word or song. If I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world abroad, if I can spread love's message that the Master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that if we can help others as we pass along, then our living shall not be in vain. Continue to speak to us, continue to use us by your Holy Spirit. Bless us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you from that passage of scripture from Luke's gospel, chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. The title of my sermon for this morning is A Knock at Midnight. A Knock at Midnight. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Knock at Midnight. Amen. Let me share with you, as I've shared with the previous services, as it relates to an experience that I encountered on Monday. Because the United Methodist Church, and in particular the Florida Annual Conference, and many of you read the article that was in the Florida Annual Conference, on the conference website, but they had asked clergy 2 months prior to this day, because we realized on January 15th we'll be celebrating the 88th birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., to make sure that they have a service that will be tailor-made around Dr. King's life and make sure it's a diverse audience. Well, we have that every Sunday. Amen. But on Monday, the superintendent had scheduled a meeting with the clergy from 9 to 4 p.m. And it was there that we shared as colleagues and was during the preparation time of our first break around 10:30. We heard just a few miles away about two officers, Orlando officers, who encountered death. Officer Clayton and Officer Lewis. At that moment, the whole conversation, the whole day changed. We had a moment of prayer and read scripture. As it relates to man's inhumanity to man, and also as it relates to police officers who are committed to protecting and serving our community. It was a great reminder of the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1963. Dr. King said, and I quote, "The measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in moments of challenges and controversies." End of quote. You look at this passage of Scripture, and this passage of Scripture can indeed be indicative to our time today. For it is midnight. And at midnight, how many of you have ever had a midnight experience? Perhaps you have had a phone call at midnight. Perhaps someone sent you a text message or an email that was really disturbing to receive that at night. Well, look in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is sharing with his disciples as well as us today, because we even talked about it Wednesday night in Bible study as well. And there are different reasons why we would get up at midnight. Some of us immediately hears the news about a family member or friend who is going to the hospital even as we speak or even already there. Or perhaps when we get a call that late at night, we're immediately thinking that someone has died. But whatever the case may be, Jesus wants us to respond. If you look at the gospel according to Luke, and look at the beginning as it relates to the first four verses of the 11th chapter, you'll see that the Bible says that Jesus, after he had finished praying in a certain place, his disciples came along in verse 2, and his disciples wanted him to teach them how to pray. Now, this was a noble request, but look at the real reason why. They said, because John has taught his disciples, like keeping up with the Joneses, hello, how to pray. And Jesus was willing to grant their request, and indeed he did. But Luke's gospel, he gives us what we've just finished sharing, known as the model prayer. He doesn't give us that long interpretation like Matthew's gospel. If you have your Bibles, look at Matthew, the 6th chapter, and you'll see where Matthew gives that long interpretation of the model prayer. Well, Luke just gives us a small sound bite. But both are so significant to our spiritual growth, prayer life, and maturity. Matthew, in Matthew the 6th chapter, once Matthew records the disciples learning how to pray the model prayer, he immediately goes into another subject, forgiveness. Look at Luke's gospel, the 11th chapter. You'll see Luke goes into persistent prayer. How we continue to pray with persistence, God will answer our prayers. Amen? In fact, let me cut to the chase. If you have your Bibles, look at Luke, the 11th chapter, the 9th verse. Luke sums it up by saying, ask, and what? Shall be given. Seek, knock, doors shall be open. That's how he sums it up. Because Luke is looking now at the life of the disciples, and after Jesus had granted them their request, then Jesus goes and he shares a parable. Verses 5 through 8 is a parable. What is a parable? I'm glad you asked. A parable, as we talked about on Wednesday night, a parable is a short story revealing a spiritual truth, or another way. A parable is a short story by Jesus revealing a heavenly true. So let me ask you the question as you look at your sermon notes. Why would you get out of bed at midnight? Ask your neighbor that question. Why would you get out of bed at midnight? Why? Why would you even call someone at midnight? I don't know about for you, but on Monday, not only did I attend that meeting, but also my lovely bride and I, we watched the National College Football Championship game up to 10:30. And I just felt no way in the world Clemson was going to come back against Alabama Roll Tides. So we decided to turn in for the night. Some of you had the opportunity to meet my brother. He's an athletic director at Rickards High School in Tallahassee. And he watches ball games to the very end. Doesn't matter if they're winning by 60, he'll watch it to the end. Well, he called me at midnight. And he told me, you got to turn on the television, wake up. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be an instant classic. And at that time, Clemson was winning. And the next thing you know, Alabama goes down the field, and now they're winning. But then with a minute and 46 seconds, Clemson goes the length of the field, and with 1 second left, scores the touchdown and win the game. They won. What was interesting, since I was already disturbed from my sleep at midnight, I decided to hang in there a little longer and hear the interviews. And a very interesting thing occurred. The quarterback was interviewed away from the coach. Watch this. And the coach was interviewed away from the quarterback. But both said the same thing. Only God could allow something like this to happen. Have you ever had those moments when only God, I can't explain it, it's not based upon my intellectual abilities, it's not based upon my talents or skill set, only God could make a way out of no way. Only God could provide healing. Only God could do this, that, or the other. Have you ever had an only God moment? That only God can receive the credit. But look what Jesus was sharing with his disciples as well as us today. He was encouraging them to continue to have persistent prayer, to stay in line, stay in communication with the Father. It is Jesus who is teaching them by way of sharing this parable that a friend goes to a friend's house and he knocks on the door. And you can imagine him just knocking and knocking and knocking until his friend decides that he will give a response. He responded this way. The doors are locked. My children are already asleep. And the bottom line, I can't do nothing for you. Don't bother me. Isn't that something to say to a friend? Now, the friend who was knocking, mind you, the friend who was knocking was very familiar with the setting and the conditions of the times. And Jesus knew that the disciples would be familiar as well. Because when the women would be baking bread, it would not be confined behind the walls of a door or apartment or a restaurant kitchen. But they would bake bread in an open field. And if you go to Jerusalem today, there are places where people cook in the open. And you can see what they're cooking. And so this friend knew that his friend had several loaves of bread. And all he wanted was 3 loaves of bread. Why? Because a friend from old, an old friend, traveling, has just come. And I have nothing. Have you ever had friends just to drop in on you? At the most, don't answer, at the most inconvenient time. and you didn't have time to clean up the house or go to Publix or any of that. So you can see the situation that was unfolding. This man was in distress, and he goes and he's asking his friend at midnight to give him 3 loaves of bread. That was his hope. That was his aspirations. If he could just borrow, if he could lend, L-E-N-D, if he could lend him just 3 loaves. Midnight can occur at any moment. Midnight can be at 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. It could be in the broad daylight. It could be a midnight experience. Whatever changes the course of what you're dealing with, when you have a crisis situation, you can call that a midnight experience. You think of the families of Officer Clayton and Officer Lewis. I guarantee you, when they heard about their loved ones, that they were killed, even though it was broad daylight on Monday, it's a midnight experience now. Midnight can happen, but what do we do? How do we respond to those who are dealing with a midnight crisis? Look at Jesus as he shares this parable, and it really sounds humorous. Because Jesus says that the friend, if this friend continues to be persistent, it's going to wake up the whole neighborhood. And the owner of the house is going to have to do what? Respond. Going to have to respond. How will you respond to the needs of others? How will I respond? Well, Dr. Martin Luther King, if you allow me to help you fill in the blanks, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: life's most persistent and nagging question, what are you doing for others? Not for yourself, but what are you doing for others? Are you helping meeting the needs of others? People need the Lord. Amen? People need hope. They need assistance. There's a hymn, and I shared it at the first service this morning. There's a hymn that says, how to reach the masses, men of every birth. Jesus gave the key. He said, as I be lifted up from the earth, I would draw all men unto me. But look at the third stanza of that great hymn. It says, for the world is hungry for the what? For the living bread. For the living bread. Lift him up that all men may see. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. The world is seeking hope in the midst of darkness, in the midst of despair. And only when it's dark enough can you see the stars. David said it this way. If you have your Bibles, look at the 119th Psalm. In fact, a little Bible trivia, it is the longest chapter. Normally, we don't refer to Psalms as chapter, but it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It consists of 176 verses. But in the 62nd verse, David says these words: at midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous, what? Judgment. God is so good. He never sleeps nor slumber. If my brother can get me up at midnight, God can. To praise him, to honor him, to acknowledge that he is God. And besides me, there's none other. God is so good to each and every one of us. When you experience a midnight crisis, know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Thank God that joy comes in the morning. Let me close by sharing this story with you. Maybe many of you have already heard this story about a baby who was kidnapped in a Jacksonville hospital. And yet, few days ago, 18 years later, she was reconnected with her parents. But I love the words of her father. He said, "I never lost hope." Never lost hope. If you sense that you have lost hope, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is our hope. For my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground, hallelujah, is sinking sand. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.